Well, I appreciate that song very much. I appreciate you young people singing it. And I appreciate you willing to be able, or your willingness to raise your hand in testimony that you're willing to make that declaration. I was young one time, and I remember having that desire. And I didn't know what it was going to take then, and I still don't know what the rest of my life is going to take to draw closer to the Lord. But I can look over the last few decades and realize that it's cost some things.
Yes.
And it's challenged my constitution. And sometimes we might feel like we're having a Joseph experience, like we talked about in Sunday school, where the things that were our security and the things that we we're trusting in gets pulled out from under us and we get knocked down. But I want to be like Joseph and rise above the things that seem to be opposing us, and yet it's our ticket to draw closer to the Lord. So desire interest in your prayers this morning. I had an experience a couple years ago, maybe, not sure how long ago it's been, that I went with the folks, the men that I work with, to a shooting range. And everybody brought what firearms they had. And it was targets that were, you could set them at various distances from, I don't remember. You could just pick it up and put it wherever you wanted it. And they had, you know, the bullseye on there to hit. And if you're shooting a pistol at 25 yards or 40 yards or something like that, you can kind of see whether you hit the target or not and where you hit it. But if you have something set at 200 yards or 300 yards, and maybe you're looking through a scope on a rifle, and once the you fire the round, it's hard to tell where that bullet hole went because it's a small hole and it's a long ways off. And even looking through the scope of the rifle, you can't really see that. But one of the fellows brought something he called a spotting scope, and you could take that and adjust it to where you could actually see that little hole in the target without having to walk out there and say I was 6 inches off of the center or whatever it was. You could actually see that. So this morning we're going to approach something. I would like to, if our vision is clear at a distance, you know, our natural eyes, and we look out and can tell that there's bark on the tree, or recognize someone at maybe 100 feet or something like that, we feel like our vision is pretty good. But we can't see the ants crawling up the tree if the ants was out crawling on the tree. So we're going to look a little bit just from a general perspective. I want us to look at something, and then with the help of the Lord, we're going to pull our spotting scope out and try to get down to a very fundamental thing that is very important to me, and I believe it's important to all of us to be successful in our walk with the Lord. So I'd like to turn to 1 Peter, the second chapter. We'd like to begin reading in the first verse. It says, "Wherefore, laying aside all malice and all guile and hypocrisies and envyings and evil speakings, as newborn babes desire the sincere milk of the word, that ye may grow thereby. If so be ye have tasted that the Lord is gracious, to whom coming as unto a living stone, disallowed indeed of men, but chosen of God and precious, ye also as lively stones are built up a spiritual house and holy priesthood, to offer up spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God by Jesus Christ. Wherefore also it is contained in the scripture, behold, I lay in Zion a chief cornerstone, elect, precious, and he that believeth on him shall not be confounded. Unto you therefore which believeth, he is precious, but unto them which be disobedient, the stone which the builders disallowed, the same is made the head of the corner, and a stone of stumbling, and a rock of offense, even to them which stumble at the word, being disobedient, whereunto also they were appointed. But ye are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, an holy nation, a peculiar people, that ye should shew forth the praises of him that hath called you out of the darkness into this marvelous light. So here's the general perspective that I want to look at. What do you see when you look out over the religious environment? What do you see when you look out over the home congregation? You see a cliquish, clannish, little group of people that come together and in the name of a church, and really they have a club, or what's your perspective when you look out? Do you see a spiritual house? Do you see a cornerstone that's alive? Or do you see just an old rock? Do you just see just an old building, not something that is eloquent or anything? What do you see? People going through a routine? Is that what your perspective is? Or do you see something that's alive, that's real? Do you have a concept in your mind that by the grace of God, you can be part of this holy priesthood? I'm just wondering what your general vision of religion, of Christianity, of your personal experience. What's it like? I go there because I feel like that's something I ought to do. That's what Grandpa did, and that's what my parents expect of me and all of that. Or is it something that is life? Yes. Are you able to have this perspective of whatever it takes, Lord, I want to be drawn closer to you. I'm willing to pay. I'm willing to give. I'm willing to make the sacrifices because I think this thing is a real. It's not a superficial experience. It's the core element of what makes mankind the extension of God's creation and his power and his glory. It's what do you see? Just when you look out. I look out and I see, from my perspective, I can see a car go by once in a while on the road, and I see that the leaves have mostly fallen from the trees and the grass is pretty well leaf covered, and maybe there's a little bit of green if you got a little fescue or something out there, but I can tell it's fall. It's a winter is here. It's I can tell that. I don't see the real details. When we got here this morning, someone told us that last Sunday there was a nice big buck that was standing out here after service, or maybe during the service. Maybe he's kind of looking in the window. I don't know. But that'd be quite a sight. That's kind of a little bit more of a detail, but you couldn't tell if he had ticks or not from this perspective. I'm just wanting us to get a general, I want us to think about, what do you really see? Do you see something that's a real live, I don't know if it's the right word, a real live organism, something that has life to it? Or is it just something it's a dead form, it's a ritual? I don't know where your perspective is. But I'll tell you that if we turned over to the book of Galatians, we'd find that Paul said something in Galatians chapter 4 to the folks there. He was concerned about their spiritual well-being. And bear with me, I'm trying to use a new Bible and it's the pages don't cooperate as well as my old one did. But if we go to Galatians, the fourth chapter, begin reading in the eighth verse, it says, "Howbeit then, when you knew not God, you did service unto them which by nature are no gods." Now the folks that he was writing to most likely were had some background of idol worship. And maybe they'd come out of that and converted to Judaism. I don't know. And from that, it's likely that they had accepted the gospel. That seems like the perspective he's writing to them. And it's possible that people came straight from idol worship and heathenism to the message of the gospel and had become Christians. But he said, "Howbeit then, when ye knew not God, you did service unto them which by nature are no gods. But now, after that ye have known God, or got a vision of this real organic organism, this living stone, this spiritual house, you've got a real concept in your heart and your mind of what it's like to be part of that. But now, after ye have known God, or rather been known of God, how turn ye again to the weak and beggarly elements, whereunto ye desire again to be in bondage? Ye observe days and months and times and years. I'm afraid of you, lest I have bestowed upon you labor in vain." So he says, you may have had a perspective that was good, that was right, that was healthy, but how is it that you've turned back away from that? How is it that you've lost the same enthusiasm and the same fervency? And how does that happen, that you let something go? How does people allow relationships in families, in marriages? How do they let things like that go? It started somewheres. So I'd like to hone in a little bit. Let's go back to the chapter that we was reading in before. In 1 Peter chapter 2 is where we started. I'd like to write the title of what I really want to talk to you about today on the board. What I've wrote up here, in case you can't read my writing, is lactose intolerant. And this is what the Lord brought to my mind when I realized I was going to have the opportunity to be here today. And I got to thinking, how do I get any kind of spiritual essence out of that? But it seemed like I couldn't get away from it, so here we are. Lactose intolerant. Anybody know, heard anything about that? Well, if you hadn't, you probably hadn't been paying attention, because it's a lot more popular today than it used to be. And if you're lactose intolerant today, I want you to know that the symptoms are real, and I'm not here to belittle any symptom. But I just want us to think about it a little bit more in depth. Instead of just embracing the idea of being lactose intolerant, you know, the first person, I've done a little research on this, that really identified it was somebody that lived about 2,500 years ago. His name was Hippocrates. You ever heard that name? You know that medical professionals today take something they call a Hippocratic oath when they enter into their medical practice. It dates all the way back to this guy. He's considered an ancient Greek physician. And he's the one that's credited with identifying what this is. And people have studied this for many, many generations, hundreds of years. And the determination is that it's caused by an absence of an enzyme in your body called lactase. And that's missing. And it caused people to be lactose intolerant. So when they consume something that's a milk product, it causes all kinds of very real symptoms that some of them are not very pleasant. But this enzyme is something that's necessary to be able to digest a specific sugar that's in cow's milk, but it's all in all mother's milk. Doesn't matter, goat's milk, a human mother's milk, all of that, it's in there. You got to have this enzyme to be able to digest it, or it causes negative symptoms. And you know what produces an enzyme? A bacteria. You know, you got bacterias living in your, the reference material calls it your gut, so I'll call it your gut today. In your digestive system, there's bacteria that live in there, and they produce enzymes for to aid in digestion. Not just milk products, but everything takes enzymes to make it break down and release the energy that's in your food. There was a time that medical field said just all milk-related products, stay away from it if you're lactose intolerant. You remember what I said earlier? We got out our spotting scope now, and we're going to get down to something here that I trust will may not be a new revelation, but something that hopefully we can get a hold of. They've studied this, and they ascribe lactose intolerance to genetic research. People that's from certain ethnicity, ethnic backgrounds, to maybe race, other things. They've divided it down, and your probability, they can look at you and you can give them some information about who you are and what your background is, and they will tell you what your probability is or your possibility of being lactose intolerant. They've got all kinds of data. They've had 2,500 plus years to work on this data collection. And I will tell you that in my lifetime, it's went from, I had never heard of that term, to now it's pretty common. And I also notice a trend in our world. Just so I'm real clear, I'm not lactose intolerant. And I enjoy almost anything that's made from cow's milk. I like cheese, and I like ice cream, and I like milk, and I like buttermilk. You might not, but I do. All of those things I think are good. And I'm thinking about it's many times this condition develops as people become older and become adults. It's less possible for you to be lactose intolerant, not impossible. It's less possible for a little child to be lactose intolerant than somebody that's my age. So, you know how science works. People have theories, and then they go around trying to prove their theory. And I'm not going to make this a science experiment, but I have a theory. I have a theory because I think there's enough evidence to support that people start introducing children and young people to things besides milk at an early age, and it's no wonder that they become lactose intolerant. The need for that bacteria that releases the enzyme that helps them be able to digest milk products is taken out of their diet. The current thing that medical fields professionals suggest is for you to, once you, if you've determined that you're lactose intolerant, to go back and begin to introduce selected things a little bit at a time to see what you can tolerate and what you can't. But as a society, we allow young people and little children to begin to and introduce them to other things rather than just milk, maybe because they don't want us to gain as much weight as we do. I've been pretty good at being able to gain weight in my life, so maybe it's because I'm not lactose intolerant. But I'm thinking about the spiritual enzymes that we need to be able to digest and to get a hold of the word of the Lord. Look at this verse that we read. It says in verse 1 and 2 of chapter 2, 1 Peter, it says, "Wherefore, laying aside all malice and all guile and all hypocrisies and evils, envies and evil speaking," we know that's all. We have to do those things. But we're going to be part of that living church. If we got any kind of vision of a spiritual body of Christ, of the bride of Christ, a spiritual building, a holy priesthood, if we got any kind of concept of that at all, we realize that we got to get rid of this stuff. This is not something that we can harbor and keep in our spiritual person at all. We've got to get rid of this. But he says, "As newborn babes, desire the sincere milk of the word that you may grow thereby." No. Milk is something that's like a complete food source for a newborn. And it's something that should provide all total nourishment. And it says here, as newborn babes, that's us, we're trying to get rid of all the rubbish in our life. That's the thing that's the prerequisite. That's the thing that God helps deliver us and does deliver us from. "As newborn babes, desire the sincere milk of the word that you may grow thereby." You're going to grow. If I'm going to grow spiritually, I have to be able and willing and prepared to digest the word. Yes. There's not any other way around it. I can catch a glimpse. One of the reasons that I believe that the scripture we read there in Galatians about, he's asking the question, how is it that once you've known God that you've went back to these beggarly elements, this thing of malice and guile? And you know, guile will get you some things that you want in life. Did you know that? You can have some guile and get some things that maybe you don't really deserve, but you can use a little guile and get it anyway. It don't taste good in the long run, but you can get it. But we're talking about being part of that holy priesthood. How is it, he said in Galatians, that you've went back to that? Maybe you quit drinking milk. Maybe you started introducing something else, and now to desire milk causes you to have an allergic reaction. And please don't, if I don't mean to step on your toes this morning. I trust no one here is lactose intolerant, but if you are, bear with me for the sake of the illustration. maybe it's at a point that the desire for the word, it says here that we ought to be like babes, desiring the sincere milk of the word that we can grow. And if we don't have a desire for the milk of the word, then what would be the natural reaction? The natural reaction is that we're going to lose our grip on our vision. Well, it's not really what I thought it was, or it used to be. It's, you know, what I really found out, this is speaking as someone that has lost their enzymes, and what it seems like is it's just a private club of some sort. You know, that's what the devil wants us to do. And you know how we get there? It's because we're not consuming the milk of the word. Amen. But even closer and finer is that, why is it that we're not consuming the word that we should? He said here, as newborn babes, desire the sincere milk of the word that you may grow thereby, if you've tasted that the Lord is gracious. We all have, if we've been there and wanted to be different than that old man, we wanted to be delivered, we heard the song, whatever it takes to draw closer to you. I want to be there. I want to keep that alive. I want to keep my milk drinking up, if you will. I'd like to go to 2 Timothy 2 and 15. You know that scripture. He says, study to shew thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. Probably said that for a memory verse. Probably heard me quote it or read it multiple times. But it sounds like a command. It is a command, but what if your appetite for studying is just not there? What if, you know, one of the symptoms of being lactose intolerant is all kinds of digestive disorders, feel like you're bloated, feel like you just can't hardly, it makes you want to put things in reverse and get rid, you know, throw it up and stuff like that. They're pretty disgusting, but they're real. They're very real symptoms. What if maybe you feel like, oh, I just can't do that. It tastes bad. I have a bad reaction every time that I try to do some studying or reading. Maybe you're spiritually lactose intolerant. The thought of reading might make you want to throw up. You know, that ought to be a good reference point for us. There's something I need to fix here. How did I get here? I asked the question, how do we get as a society, how do we get to the place that it's so common to have this disorder? I have a theory, I said. My theory is that we have weaned ourselves off of milk so much as a society, I'm talking about cow's milk, that we get the word that if we do drink that, if we do consume some of that, it causes a reaction. It causes something negative to happen. You know, if we wean ourselves off of the word of the Lord for any extended period of time, it's the desire to consume that isn't really there. It's like, well, I fill that time with something else. Maybe surfing the internet. That wouldn't be too strange, would it, in our world today? Searching for something for sale or a vacation place. Oh, I don't know. Just all kinds of stuff you can search for. And it's at our fingertips. And it's so easy to replace consuming the word with that. That's true. It is for all of us. It doesn't matter our age. Notice what Matthew says in chapter 5 and verse 6 is one of the Beatitudes. And I'm sure the little children, and I did too when I was young, were taught this as a memory verse. It says, "Blessed are they which do hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled." Blessed are they that hunger and thirst. Have anyone ever seen a little baby that was hungry? They let you know, don't they? And they keep letting you know until their little tummy is satisfied. They're going to be fussy. And it's maybe you can kind of pat them and satisfy them to an extent. Maybe they'll drift off a little bit, but they won't last. For them to really be resting and content, they're going to have their belly full. You know, for us to really prosper spiritually, we're going to have our belly full. We're going to have a hungering and thirsting. You know how to cultivate an appetite? I've got this other theory. You know how to, I know there's a lot of things out there about us losing weight. And you can't eat yourself skinny, I know that. And I know that there are things that will help us, but just like it hurt when I went to the buffet and had three platefuls and couldn't hardly get back out to the car, it's going to hurt a little bit by not eating and letting my body use up some of that reserve I've been stockpiling. I'm going to have a little bit of hunger pains. It's going to hurt a little bit either way. If we want to gain spiritual weight, and I think we should, we have to have a hunger. We have to cultivate an appetite. You know, we can't expect to have an appetite for long-term study if we don't start somewheres and study some. And the more we read, the more we ought to want to read. There are so many fascinating stories in the Bible. Axe head swimming. We know those stories about the lion's den and all of those things. There's many, many miraculous accounts that can be somewhat entertaining. I didn't know it said that. You know, there's scriptures in there that talks about not getting tattoos. It's in there. You know, if you begin to dig and scratch, you'll begin to learn, oh, well, the Bible does address that. And it fits in our current dilemma that we're in, the age that we live in. But he said, blessed are they which do hunger and thirst after righteousness. Cultivate the things that produce the enzymes that helps you digest it. If you stay away from it, you'll get to where you have a level of intolerance for it. And then, in John the 6th chapter, notice what Peter said in St. John the 6th chapter. And we'll begin reading in verse 53, I believe it is. Then Jesus said unto them, "Verily, verily, I say unto you, except you eat the flesh of the Son of Man and drink his blood, you have no life in you. Whoso eateth the flesh and drinketh my blood hath eternal life, and I will raise him up at the last day. For my flesh is meat indeed, and my blood is drink indeed. He that eateth my flesh and drinketh my blood dwelleth in me, and I in him. As the living Father has sent me, I live by the Father. So he that eateth me even shall live by me. This is that bread which come down from heaven, not as your fathers did eat manna and are dead. He that eateth of this bread shall live forever." These things said he in the synagogue as he taught in Capernaum. Now, we can tell by the reaction that people had that they didn't really like what he said. They didn't have an appetite. They had not cultivated an appetite to consume spiritual things. Do you think he was talking about literal eating him? No, that's not what he's talking about. He's talking about spiritual food. He was talking about eating and drinking the things that he was being able to teach and to demonstrate to people. But this is what people said. Many, therefore, of his disciples, when they heard this, they said, "This is a hard saying. I'm intolerant to that. No, who can hear it? Who can digest that? It makes me want to throw up to think about it." That's what some people say about milk products, because they're lactose intolerant. How did you get lactose intolerant? I don't know. If I become that, I want you to know I'm going to do my best to work over it. I'm talking about naturally speaking, because I like ice cream and I like all that other stuff that's made from it. When Jesus knew in himself that his disciples murmured at it, he said unto them, "Doth this offend you? What, and if ye see the Son of Man ascend up where he was before, it is the Spirit that quickeneth. The flesh profiteth nothing, but the words that I speak unto you, they are spirit and they are life." That's not the verse. I wanted to get down. Maybe we'll just skip down to it. Verse 66. From that time, many of his disciples went back and walked no more with him. Why? They were spiritually lactose intolerant. They got to the point, they just the thought of it makes my stomach hurt. You know, I don't dare eat that. I'll have a bad reaction to it. If I spend my time on that, something else won't get done in my life. Then said Jesus unto the 12, Will ye also go away? Then Simon Peter answered, listen to what was working in his spiritual digestive tract. Lord, to whom shall we go? Thou hast the words of eternal life. Where else are you going to go to understand what the will of the Lord is, except the word? A appetite, cultivating an appetite and feeding. I don't know. It's probably not the best illustration, but I just hope you get the point this morning. The point is that we have to cultivate an appetite for spiritual things. If you don't cultivate that, you know what cultivating means? I'll give you a little example. I knew this man and his wife, and when I knew them, they were retired and they had moved to town. But they had made their living, raised their son, they only had one son, and paid for his college and all of that on 40 acres. They raised cotton every year down where I grew up. And when the cotton was planted and it started coming up, they would start hoeing the cotton. That meant you cut the weeds out, and when they got it up a certain height, they would block it out to where it was a hose width apart, like about 6 inches apart. And they would chop 40 acres. Y'all ever chop 40 acres? Takes a long time. But they would chop together and chop 40 acres. And he had a tractor, and when they got to the end, the last row, he would get on the tractor and he would had his cultivator on it, and he would plow the middles out. And as soon as he plowed the middles out, they would start chopping again. And they cut the weeds, they cut the grass, whatever might come up. And they did that until the crop was laid by. And that meant that the cotton was tall enough that it shaded the ground, that the grass and the weeds wouldn't sprout and grow. That's when the cotton is up here about waist high. That's cultivating. You know what it means to cultivate an appetite for the word of the Lord? As you do it every day. As you read. As you take the time to invest in it. Not only do you learn to chew and to swallow, but you learn to consume enough of it that you can meditate on a little bit. Might just be one verse, but start somewheres. You know, if I was lactose intolerant today, and I like to lick ice cream cones as much as I do now, I'm going to start trying a little bit. I'm going to take a spoonful and see if I can work through that. And tomorrow I'm going to try to take two spoonfuls. I'm going to try to get my enzymes going again. You know, sometimes people lose their enzymes and become lactose intolerant after they've had a major disease or real sickness, maybe some kind of intestinal flu or something. I don't know. But they become lactose intolerant, kind of like at a flip of a switch. And it's hard to get that enzyme reestablished. And maybe today there's somebody here that feels like that enzyme is missing in the appetite and the desire to apply yourself, to put the word in your head and in your heart and in your mind, the word. You have a reference point and you have something that you can... I'm not one to wallow stuff around in my mouth. I chomp it a couple of times and I swallow it. But some people like to kind of wallow stuff around in their mouth. And, you know, spiritually speaking, maybe we want to kind of relish the taste. We want to get to where we can relish the taste and the flavor. Yes. Yes. And the benefit from it. But that's the only way that we will ever be able to grow. He said, you remember, in first the verses we started, that we ought to be like a newborn babe, desiring the sincere milk of the word. That's what we ought to be, that we can grow thereby. We're not going to expect to grow without it. Our diet has to be way more complex to get the same nourishments in drinking water than it does drinking milk and eating other things. I'd like to conclude with the words of a song. Maybe there's a song book here. Song number 333 in our book. It says, "Precious Bible." What's your perspective? Do you see the value? Or is it, I don't know. Or is it, man, I just can't seem to, I don't know, I just can't seem to have an appetite to just read. It's just, yeah, I know what kind of what's in there, but it's not very inspiring. You know what that tells me? You're lactose intolerant. That tells me that the enzyme is not working. You're not like Peter that's saying, "Lord, where should we go? There's no other place for the source of life and nutrients." Notice the words here. It says, "Oh, precious Bible, burning words from heaven, we'll ever cherish thee in our hearts. Sweet is the counsel by the pages given, on life's dark ocean, our only chart." It's our only chart for life's dark ocean. Blessed Bible. And notice he says in the chorus, "Joyful tidings from our home." From our home. I haven't been there yet, but I hear that there's going to be a house for me up there. It's not just a shack. It's supposed to be a mansion when we get there. Yes. I want to experience the reality of that. Yes. And I don't want to allow myself today to become spiritually lactose intolerant. Yes. Because I believe that I could be. Amen. I believe you could be. Amen. You could allow yourself to get to the place that, I don't know, I can't get motivated. I just want us to realize that this is something that we have to cultivate. We got to chop the weeds out. We got to plow the middles, and we got to do it again. I don't know how many times they, I guess if I knew how long it took them to go through it with a hoe and how long it took cotton to get waist high, I could tell you about how many times we could calculate how many times they repeated that. But they repeated that over and over and over again. And that's the way they earned their living and paid for the necessities of life, is by cultivating cotton. You know how we're going to be successful and be able to go to our spiritual home? Is by cultivating an appetite. It's one of the things. Cultivating an appetite for the things of the Lord. If we don't cultivate it, we'll get to where we're lactose intolerant. And it's just, I don't know, maybe you get something out of it, but it just don't really do anything for me. I'm going to tell you, that's a bad place to be. And I don't know how to jumpstart your enzymes, but I do know that we have an avenue of prayer. And we have the Spirit that can deal with our hearts and cause us to realize, I need to get this thing going again. And I believe, I know I'm not a scientist and I'm not a doctor, but I just got this sneaking feeling that if people really want, Lord help us here, if you want to get over lactose intolerance, naturally, I think there's a way. Amen. I think there's a way. And you know about spiritual lactose intolerance? I know there's a way. I know there's a way to get above it and past it. And if you found yourself this morning in a place where it's just like, man, I don't know what you're talking about. It sounds like you're just, don't make a lot of sense to me, and it really don't do anything for, there's something else that seems to be much more important. I'm going to tell you, you're in trouble. You're in trouble. Yes. I want to challenge you and encourage you to start doing whatever it takes. Amen. Whatever it takes, Lord, I'm willing to do. Are you willing to do whatever it takes to overcome spiritual lactose intolerance? I trust you are. You pray for me.